Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Crossline Church. We're so delighted that you're here with us, whether you're joining us here in the auditorium or out on the patio. If you're online, thank you so much for being part of our community, a part of our worship service today. We're getting close to wrapping up a series that we began at the beginning of the summer called A New and Better Way. And this whole series, based on the book of 2 Corinthians, is contrasting kind of the way of dead religion, the way of empty philosophy, the way of self-sufficiency, kind of doing it our way with God versus God's way that he's made available through Jesus Christ. It's such a better way, and it's a new way because it offers the hope and the life and the love of Christ in us produced by the Holy Spirit. We've been seeing that as we've worked our way through 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 3, 4, and 5. Now we're in 2 Corinthians 6, and we have one more message next week to wrap this whole series up. And the message that we're going to talk about today really kind of fits in with one of the things that we say about Crossline Church almost every week. One of our mantras, because we believe it's biblical, is that everybody is on a spiritual journey. Now, that thing, that truth, is actually represented in the passage, because not only are we on a journey in terms of our pursuit of God and where we are in understanding our relationship with Christ and what our personal commitment is to faith, but we're all on a journey in that we have different life experiences. For some, this season right now, this COVID season, this might be the most difficult season of your life. I mean, this might be a season of great questioning, of challenge, of difficulty, maybe economic difficulty, or with kids in school. It just might be a very trying time. For other people, this could be a time of fruitfulness, a time of experiencing God in a very deep way, a time of real answered prayer. For other people, it might be a time of hope and faith and looking forward to the future, because we all have different experiences. And if one of the things that you notice if you live life long enough is life isn't just one season or one experience. It's really all of the above. In fact, as I look at this passage of Scripture, at first, I wanted to call my sermon The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly of the Christian Life. And then as I kind of studied it a little deeper, I thought, you know what Paul is doing, the Apostle Paul, who's the author, he's just keeping it real. He's talking about real Christianity. And then I landed on that phrase, all of the above. Because as many of you know, for the last several years, I've been on the adjunct faculty of Biola University and Talbot Seminary. And as a professor, I've had occasion to give quizzes and tests with multiple choice type questions. You know what a multiple choice type question is. For example, which of the following are part of a balanced diet? A, vegetables, B, fruits, C, proteins, D, grains, or E, all of the above? The answer is E, all of the above. Here's another question. Which of the following factors affect our health? A, genetics, B, diet, C, exercise, D, sleep, or E, all of the above? Now, here's a third question. What are the components of an authentic Christian life? A, answered prayer, B, disappointments, C, fruitfulness, D, trials, E, all of the above. Paul, in this passage, is telling us it's all of the above. So as we unpack this passage and look at it verse by verse, here's a couple of things I want to do. One is I want to give you permission to be in the life experience you are right now. It's part of all of the above. But a second thing is to empower you to realize this isn't the only season I'm going to be in. It may change. It may change for the better. It may change for the more trying and difficult. And here's another exhortation I want to give you is don't be so quick to look at somebody else's experience and make a judgment, because they're on their journey too. And their spiritual and emotional and life experience is going to be fluid and it's going to change just like yours, because the real Christian life is all of the above. This is what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, giving no cause for offense in anything so that the ministry will not be discredited, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and for the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying, yet behold we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. Now in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. The Apostle Paul in this larger section has been talking about how the Holy Spirit comes into our lives the very moment we become followers of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit reproduces in us the life of Jesus. But the life of Jesus is bigger than we bargain for. And the life of Jesus doesn't narrowly fit in to one composite picture that we might have in our minds. Because even the life of Jesus was all of the above. And as the Holy Spirit produces that within us, and we experience real Christianity, authentic relationship with God, we are going to experience all of the above. And Paul says here, first of all, it is based on our understanding of who we are. Because he says, we are servants of God called to serve. Servants of God called to serve. Verse 3 says, giving no offense for anything so that the ministry will not be discredited. That word for ministry is from the Greek word diakonia, which can be translated as ministry, but it's more just commonly known as service. We're in Christ's service, every believer. The moment you put your faith in Jesus, what we talk about here is just kind of crossing the line, inviting Jesus to come into your life. Now you become a servant in Christ's service. In fact, the very next verse, Paul says, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God. Now, this is the word diakonos. So we are servants, diakonos, who are in service, diakonia. That is who we are and what we do as followers of Jesus Christ. And it's true of every follower of Jesus. So if you're engaging with the Christian life right now, you're a seeker, you're trying to figure out what does this really mean to be a Christian? It means to be a servant of God. And that begins with that first step, an act of faith, crossing the line and coming into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how we become servants of God. And as servants, we're about serving. And the Apostle Paul saw himself this way. And in fact, what he says is he didn't want anything to discredit his service for God or give a misrepresentation of who he was as a servant. And so what he describes in the following verses is what real service looks like and what the real identity of a servant is. And if you were paying attention as I was reading through the list, some of those things aren't things you'd really like to be true of your life. But they are. Because it's all of the above. It's all of the above. When we see ourselves as God sees us, when we accept our calling as servants in service, it's all of the above. And by the way, that is something that is true about us because we saw earlier in 2 Corinthians 3 that Paul says about this new and better way, he says, such confidence we have through Christ toward God, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who has made us adequate as servants of the new covenant. That's this new and better way. Everybody who's a believer in Jesus Christ has been made a servant of this new covenant. It's not of the letter. It's not about rules and religion. It's of the Spirit, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Even in the midst of the good, the bad, and the ugly, and even in the midst of every spiritual season, and even in the midst of all of the above, there's life. See, real life, real authentic life. So Paul is giving us a picture here into what real Christianity is all about. And this is why I said at the very beginning of my comments, I'm giving you permission to embrace what's happening in your life right now. Because this is what we tend to do. I know this because it's what I do. In my mind, I idolize what I think it means to be a Christian, or I idolize what I think it means to follow Jesus, and I get a very narrow picture of it, and when my life experience doesn't measure up to that, I think there's something wrong with me or something wrong with my experience, when in fact, I'm just experiencing all of the above. If you're like me, if you're in a season of fruitfulness, or if you're in a season of answered prayer, or if you're in a season of God speaking to you from the Word, you think that's the way it should be all the time. And then when it isn't, you think, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Or if you're in a season of trial and heartache and disappointment and difficulty, you might think, this is the way it's going to be all the time, because this is just the way the Christian life is. It's just sacrifice. It's just sucking it up until I get to heaven. And you'd be wrong. Is this season real in your life right now? Yes. For others, is this season real in your life right now? Yes, because it's all of the above. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to tell us. He's trying to help us gain a perspective of what it means to be a real Christian. Because a real Christian is a servant of Jesus Christ, called to service. And he gives a description of what it's like. And by the way, I said this earlier, and I don't think the first service got it when I said it. You're a much more intelligent crowd. Don't tell them I said that. And you online, I know you'll get this. I said this to somebody before we walked out to the service. I said, you know, I'd rather be thought of as a servant than actually treated like a servant. Did you get that? Because you know what servants do? Serve. And you know what service is all about? All of the above. E. All of the above. Here's the first thing that Paul tells us that's included in all of the above. Trials and hardships. Trials and hardships. He says in verses 4 and 5, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger. The first thing he tells us about this is real Christianity, this is the authentic life of being a servant of Jesus Christ, is that it's in much endurance. The word endurance is a Greek word, hupomone, which literally means abiding under trials. So hupomone is the character quality or the attitude to stay in there when it's really hard. To not give up, to not throw in the towel, to not say, well, I'm done with that, to not say, well, I tried that and it didn't work, but to understand that it's going to be hard and it's a long race. It's not a sprint. It's a marathon. It's a cross-country race. In fact, that's the very word that's used in Hebrews 12:1, where the writer of the Hebrews says, run with endurance the race that is set before you, fixing your eyes on Jesus, which, by the way, that's the only way you can have endurance, is to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. You get your eyes fixed on circumstances, on people, on yourself, and you're going to want to throw in the towel. But you keep your eyes on Jesus, the one who ran the race before us, the one who runs with us, the one who actually runs in us and through us by the power of his Holy Spirit. That's the only way to have endurance. And it takes endurance to last the long haul. That's part of the Christian life. It's with endurance. And then he gives 9 descriptions of hardships. Why do you think he has to say it 9 times? Because over the course of our life, we will experience it multiple times, difficulties. Maybe not every time, and maybe right now the season that you're in isn't hard. But there was a season in the past that was hard, I bet. And you know what? There's probably going to come a season in the future that's going to be hard. So Paul describes it, and he describes it in 3 different ways. So the first group of words that describe the difficulties in the Christian life are just general terms for tough times. Afflictions, hardships, and distresses. Afflictions, hardship, and distresses. And basically, all he's acknowledging is something that we could acknowledge if we would kind of just be honest about reality, and that is, for every human being, there are tough times. Do some people have it tougher than others? Yes. Do some people have an easier life than others? Yes. Does everybody over the course of living a full life have tough times? Yes. And so will the follower of Jesus Christ. So will the servant of Jesus Christ. There will be afflictions and hardships and distresses. The word for afflictions is a Greek word that means it's thlipsis. And it means to be pressured on both sides. Have you ever felt that way? We ever felt that way? You're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. You just it's pressure coming at you. And the word for hardship is just a generic word for tough, stressful situations. And then the word for distresses means to be placed into a narrow place that it doesn't look like there's a way out. Have you ever felt that way where you just felt like you were in this narrow place and it didn't look like, at the time, it didn't look like there was a way out? Well, this is what the Apostle Paul's saying is. He's saying there are general difficulties that are going to come into our lives, and it doesn't mean we're not following Jesus. It doesn't mean we don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean we're not doing the Christian life right. It just means we're human beings. And part of our experience, part of all of the above, are these difficulties and hardships. But then he says there's another kind of difficulty and hardship that isn't just general, it's more specific. It's the difficulty and hardship and trials that come from other people. He says beatings, imprisonments, and tumults. Well, I thought if I followed Jesus, everyone would just think I was a great person. I thought if I love God, then everybody would just get along with me. I thought if I love people, well, people would certainly see my heart and know that I have a good heart and I love people, and they would just think, well, you know, maybe I disagree with you, but I think you're a great guy. No, it didn't work that way. What happened to Jesus? He got crucified. What happened to the Apostle Paul? He got killed. What happened to every apostle except for the Apostle John? They were martyred. You see, Paul is just telling us honestly, realistically, that there's going to be general difficulties, and you know what? Then there's also going to be difficulties from people. There are some people who just aren't going to like the fact that we're following Jesus Christ. And that actually shouldn't surprise us, because Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, greatest sermon ever preached by the greatest preacher who ever lived, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount is called the Beatitudes, the blessed life. These are the things that are, you're blessed if this happens to you. There's only one blessing in there that gets three blessings. There's one quality, one experience, one situation that three times it says, blessed are, blessed are, blessed are. It's when you're persecuted for righteousness. Part of the all of the above of the Christian life is that there's going to be beatings, imprisonments, and tumults, persecutions, rejections. Paul experienced the full measure of this. Jesus experienced it. Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you also. I know that it doesn't seem that way to some of us that it should be like that. Like, you know, this past week, part of our staff team, all of our ministry directors, we got together and we went over our ministry plans and we spent time in prayer. And then we brought in a consultant, a coach, who took us through this team building tool called Strength Finders, where we all took this evaluation and what are our basic kind of attitudinal strengths and characteristics that we can use to best serve the Lord and understand one another. Well, for some of us, and I was one of them, Pastor Greg was kind of in this too, most of our strengths have to do with people skills. And get this, okay? My number one strength on the Strength Finder is positivity. And my number two strength in the Strength Finders is relator. So positive, I want to have a positive relationship. I want to get along with people. I want a positive environment. If apart from what I know from the Bible, I would actually think, if I could sit down with you and just talk to you, I'd get you to like me. And you may disagree with me, but we would actually like each other. We could disagree without being disagreeable because we could just get along. Can't we all just get along? The Bible says, no, we can't, because we got a sin problem and we live in a fallen world. And we have an evil one, the accuser of the brethren. And as a result, the authentic Christian life, you're being a servant of Jesus, you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're loving God and you're loving people, but not everybody's loving you back. That's reality. There are going to be difficulties and trials because of people pushing back against us. You know, I love reading biography. If you want a just a simple kind of introductory biography, not having to go real deep, there's two books by Eric Metaxas. One is Seven Men That Changed the World. The second one is Seven Women That Changed the World. So I read The Seven Men That Changed the World. Now I'm reading The Seven Women That Changed the World. They're really short biographies because they're seven biographies in one little book. And so I just read the biography of a woman who changed the world, Corrie Ten Boom. And maybe many of you have heard of Corrie Ten Boom. She was a great follower of Jesus, evangelist. She's with the Lord now. But she was in a concentration camp because her family, because of their strong Christian faith in Holland during World War II, they protected and hid Jewish people because the Nazis were rounding Jewish people up and sending them in concentration camps and sending them to their death. But because of their love for God, their love for people, their strong commitment to Jesus Christ, Corrie Ten Boom's father and her sisters, her family, they hid Jewish people in their home. But finally, the Nazis figured it out, and they sent the whole Ten Boom family into concentration camps along with the Jews that they were hiding. She was persecuted for her faith. Now, I can imagine it would not be unlikely for Corrie Ten Boom or for someone else in a concentration camp, and they were sent there because they were actually loving God and loving people and serving the people of God, the Jewish people, trying to minister for Jesus, to think, God, why am I here? What went wrong? Because I was serving you. I was doing what you want. I was shining the light of Jesus. I was loving people. And I end up in a concentration camp? See, right now, you might be in some kind of trial and difficulty, and things aren't working out the way you think, and it'd be very easy to think, this Christian life thing doesn't work because I'm trying to serve God and I'm taking the shorts. That's what it says in the Greek, short uh-oh. Anyway, it's like this doesn't seem right. It's a season. It's all of the above. Is it real now? Yes. Is it all that's real? No. Paul says there's a part of authentic Christianity that involves trials. Some just general trials, some because people giving us pushback and rejection and even persecution. And some that we bring on ourselves. No, not because we did anything wrong, but because we're really dedicated to follow Jesus. He says, labors, sleeplessness, and hunger. He's talking about hard work. The Apostle Paul worked hard to serve Jesus Christ and tell other people about Jesus. He worked hard to be an example to other people. He worked hard to represent Jesus to his fellow man. And sometimes that hard work resulted in the fact he didn't get any sleep. It says over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he worked night and day. And sometimes the fact that he worked hard meaning he went without food. Now, it wasn't that he was starving. And it wasn't that he was fasting. It was that he was just working and he missed meals because he was working. See, this is the type of difficulty and hardship that is a result of spiritual sacrifice and spiritual dedication and spiritual commitment. It's the grind of following Jesus. So Paul says, listen, real, authentic Christianity, a certain truth of it, a snapshot truth, not the whole truth, but a real truth of it, is that it's hard. And there are trials. But let me just tell you something. Not because this is something that I know with great experience, but in my own limited experience, there's something very redeeming about this kind of season of life and these experiences of life. The Bible promises in Romans chapter 5 and James chapter 1 that trials and tribulations produce proven character, and proven character produce hope, and hope doesn't disappoint. There's a refining that God does in our lives when the season of our life or the experience of our life is hard and difficult. It's in those times that we really go deep with Jesus and experience fullness of Jesus in our life. In fact, it's at these times that we experience these words from this is a familiar nursery rhyme, nursery book that maybe you've heard before. It's from the Velveteen Rabbit. And it's a conversation between the skin horse and the Velveteen Rabbit. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he had seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger, and by break their mainspring and pass away. And he knew that they were only toys and would never turn into anything else, because nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced, like the skin horse, understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day when they were lying side by side in the nursery. "Does it mean having things buzz inside of you and a stick-out handle?" "Real isn't how you are made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you when a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, and then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't really mind being hurt. Does it happen all at once, like being wound up, or is it bit by bit?" "Well, it doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. And that's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily or have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints and you're very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." See, God, in his wisdom and grace and love, allows us the privilege of becoming real as servants of Jesus Christ. But that's just one phase, one season, one part of the experience. See, it's all of the above, because Paul goes on now to give another description of what real Christianity looks like. It's in spiritual character and resources of the Holy Spirit. He says, verse 6, "In purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and for the left." Paul's describing that the true servant of Jesus Christ has a godly character and has spiritual fruit and experiences the full armor of God in his life. True servants of Jesus become more and more like Jesus. And true servants of Jesus serve like Jesus, out of a spiritual authenticity and truthfulness and depth and power and grace. He's given us a description here of what the Christian life looks like. There's purity, integrity, and holiness. See, when we follow Jesus Christ and we serve Jesus Christ, we become more like Jesus. We saw that very just in a few verses previously in this section. It says in 2 Corinthians 3:17 and 18 that we all, with an unveiled face, behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We are being transformed into that very same image from glory to glory, even by the Lord, the Holy Spirit. So we're becoming more like Jesus. We're becoming holy like Jesus and more loving like Jesus. In fact, you may be in a season of your life where you're actually aware that that's happening. The word of God just is coming alive to you, and messages like this just speak right to your heart, and your prayers seem like they're going straight to God, and you have an awareness that God is real in your life, and you have an awareness even that you're being changed. You're becoming a more loving person, a more Christ-like person, and there's a reality of Jesus. Paul says that in this description, there's spiritual knowledge. We're aware of what the Bible says is true, and it makes sense to us, and we're beginning to think more biblically. There's patience and kindness and genuine love. See, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is evidence in our life. We're speaking to people with a greater grace. What used to really tick us and bug us and get us really upset, we're actually aware that I'm more forgiving. My words have more kindness to them. I'm able to surrender that to God. Paul says there's the Holy Spirit. The gifts and fruit of the Holy Spirit are actually operating in our life, in us and through us. And we're aware of that. We're seeing that actually happening in our lives. And we're aware like, man, this is the Christian life. I'm walking with Jesus. I'm abiding in Jesus. He's living his life in me and through me. And I'm actually experiencing his love in my life. In fact, Paul says a genuine love or a sincere love. He uses the Greek word for love, agape, and then he modifies it with a word anapokritos. Anapokritos means unhypocritical. It's not phony love. It's not manufactured love. It's the real love of Jesus. And we're feeling it and experiencing it. And it's actually coming out of us to others. He also says here that we are speaking the word of truth. Our conversations. We find ourselves actually having conversations with people about Jesus. We're sharing the word of God with one another. We're experiencing what it says over in Colossians 3, where it says, you know, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, speaking to one another with thankfulness to God. We're doing that. This past week was kind of an interesting week in the Jones household for home ownership. Our hot water heater went out, completely broke. We had to have that replaced. And then we've got some kind of beetle infestation with grubs in our front lawn that completely killed the grass in our front lawn. So on one day, I had the plumber come out, and they fixed the hot water heater, and then they had to come back and do some adjustments on it. And when the guy came back, it was his helper that came back, and I was sitting talking to him. And we had this hour-long conversation about COVID-19 and politics and racial issues and conspiracy theories and what's going on with the government and the election. And the guy drove off, and I just thought, oh my gosh, we just had this hour-long conversation about all this stuff that really doesn't matter. I didn't find out anything about him. I didn't say anything about Jesus. I didn't say anything about oh my gosh. Like that was, I'll never get that conversation back. Boom. That was like, you know, just ranting and raving. Now, the next day, I dug up my front lawn, and then my gardener came out and brought a bunch of sod, and we re-sodded it, and I engaged him in conversation. Now, he's not even fluent in English, and I'm certainly not fluent in Spanish. But in the course of the conversation, I was able to say to him, la linea, the line. Dios, God, perfecto, amor, he's loving, he's perfect. Hombres, pecadores, men are sinful. Necesitamos, what do we need to do? Cruzando la línea. We got to cross the line. I had this wonderful conversation about the gospel and about Jesus and the two of us talking together. And I thought, wow, that was a much better conversation than the conspiracy theory about politics and COVID-19 and everything else going on. See, there is in the reality of following Christ and being a servant of Christ, the sharing of the word. And talking to people about Jesus. Paul says there's the power of God. There's the Holy Spirit power evident within us. See, he's describing in my mind. See, this is what in my mind, what it ought to be all the time. There ought to be holiness and the fruit of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and talking about Jesus and knowing the word of God. And then he says the weapons of righteousness. God gives us resources to win the spiritual battle. See, that's it, right? And maybe that's the way you think too. And maybe that actually is for you right now, which is awesome. But see, if we narrowly say the Christian life is just that picture, whenever it isn't that, we think, what's wrong with me? How come it's not working for me? Or we look at somebody else and we don't see the spirituality that we think we ought to see, then we judge their relate. And see, what we're doing is we're not realizing It's not A, it's not B, it's not C, it's not D, it's E, all of the above. It's all of the above. And times there may be trials and hardships and difficulties. At times, there may be tremendous expressions of the Holy Spirit in our life and spiritual fruit and the reality of God's word and the speaking forth of the gospel and the seeing of Jesus work in us and through us and out of us to other people. Paul says, it's not just this and it's not just this. In fact, he says in the next section, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. He says, verses 8 to 10, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold, we live as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful yet not yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. He puts these contrasts before us to say, listen, it's not just this, nor is it just this. It's not just this, nor is it just this. It's not just this, nor is it just this. It's all of the above. That's the real Christian life. God works in the good, the bad, and the ugly of life. And if you're experiencing the good, the bad, and the ugly, it means you are experiencing what the Christian life is all about. Paul says, there's glory and there's dishonor. At times it's glorious to follow Jesus. At times it's glorious to see what God's working in our life. At times it's glorious in the experience of the church. But at other times, it just doesn't seem like anything's happening at all. Seems like my prayers are just hitting the ceiling, coming back down. Doesn't seem like there's any power of the Holy Spirit. It's just me working and gutting it out and trying to make things happen. Evil report and good report. That word evil really is bad. Bad report and good report. That can mean personally, you know, I get a physical every year, and I'm happy to tell you, most of the time, what I hear is, you're in good health. But one time, you know what I heard? You've got cancer. And you know what I heard another time? You got to get back surgery. Another time I heard, you got pneumonia. See, it's bad report and good report. You'd say the same thing about the report on your health. Now, you know what? Spiritually, it can be the same way. You can just be serving Jesus, and there can be some people who don't like what you're doing, and they give you a bad report. And there are other people who love what you're doing, and they give you a good report. And that's not just, well, it's the pagans who give you the bad report and it's the believers who give you the good report. We just had, this past week, I told you we had a time with our staff to bring them all in, our directors for training. I had one of my friends come in who's a pastor and he's a coach and he's a life coach and he did an unbelievable job. He lost a job as a pastor, a church he founded. He went on a sabbatical and while he was gone, they fired him. A rumor started about him. That was believed and discussed, and he was let go. The Apostle Paul. In fact, do you know, this letter that he's writing in 2 Corinthians actually is Paul's defense of his ministry. The actual section that we look at, when you study it from a more structural standpoint of how the book is set up, Paul started the church at Corinth, left. Some false teachers came and said some lies about Paul. The church at Corinth started believing those lies. Paul wrote 2 Corinthians to correct the lies that the people in the church were believing about him. He was actually experiencing what he's talking about, evil report and good report. Sometimes there will be people who believe things about you that aren't true. But you're serving Jesus. And then there are other times people will believe what is true. And sometimes they'll believe even better of you than you really deserve. Glory and dishonor, evil report, good report. Regarded as deceivers, yet true. Unknown, yet well known. As dying, yet behold, we live. Paul said that earlier in 2 Corinthians 4. He says, we carry about in our body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus will be manifested in our body. It says, as punished and not put to death, Paul experienced all kinds of trials and difficulties. Up to this point, he hadn't been put to death. He was still living and serving Christ and talking about Jesus. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. This is the one, you know, I look at this one, and for some reason this stands out to me, because I think what a supernatural paradox there is of the Christian life. Because if you live the Christian life long enough, you've lived it authentically as a real servant of Jesus, this one will really be true. You will understand how you can at the same time have sorrow and joy. There can be things that grieve you, that give you a holy, godly sorrow. At the same time, you can have tremendous joy in Christ and be rejoicing about God. That's only true in the authentic Christian life. It's only true in this real life that Jesus offers to us. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. As having nothing, yet possessing all things. You may think you have nothing, but you know what the Bible says? You've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. See, it's not just A, it's not just B, it's not just C, it's not just D. It's all of the above. And all of the above is beautiful. God actually purposefully allows us to experience all of life on purpose so that Jesus would be real in every experience of life. That's the authentic Christian life. Paul wraps this up with one last grouping. He says it's in open and intimate relationships. You know, life is, it's all about relationships. It's about loving God and loving people. So he says, our mouth has spoken freely to you, Corinthians. Our heart's been open wide. You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections. So now in a like exchange, I speak as to children, open wide to us also. Paul is saying, listen, I've pursued you. I've loved you. I've opened up my heart to you. So in a like exchange, open up your heart wide to me. It's all about relationships. But even in relationships, and even in being a person who's pursuing healthy relationships, pursuing open, honest relationships where you speak the truth, you open up your heart, there's deep affection. Even when you pursue relationships like that, because Paul would even tell us this, people don't always respond back. Sometimes you get your heart broken. But that's part of the Christian life as well. This passage, you know, when I first read it, it was like, oh my gosh, how am I going to preach a sermon on that? That's just a weird, I don't know, there's nothing... nothing there that really just jumps out. But then the more I read this and prayed about it and meditated on it, I said, man, this is real life. This is it. I don't know what season you're in. I don't know what part of the journey you're experiencing right now. But it's not the only part. It's such a full journey to follow Jesus Christ. It's everything. It's trials, it's hardships, it's joy, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, it's the working of God, it's the gospel change in everything. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's deep love relationships, it's heartbreaking relationships. It's all of the above, following Jesus. So I think the skin horse had it right when he said to the rabbit, it doesn't happen all at once. You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't often happen to people who break easily or who have sharp edges or who have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off and your eyes drop out and you get loose in the joints, very shabby. But these things don't matter at all because once you are real, you can't be ugly except to people who don't understand. God gives us the great privilege of becoming real as servants of Jesus Christ. And it's all about surrendering our whole lives to Jesus. And every part of our life and every season of our life and every part of the journey, surrendering it all to Jesus Christ. Let me pray for us. God, I pray this morning for all of us here and those listening online that we just be able to embrace this truth that it's all of the above. And we allow you to use whatever experience we're having now, whatever season we're in now, wherever we are in the journey now, we'd allow you to use it to make us real in Jesus. Just thank you so much that you've called us to be your servants. And thank you so much that you redeem everything and everything matters to you. So I pray that whatever's happening for each of us, we'd experience the fullness of Jesus in it and surrender it all to Jesus. In your name, amen.